Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We are following the very latest for you as Maureen Faulkner, widow of a murdered Philadelphia policeman, Danny Faulkner, murdered in 1980. Can you believe this? This widow, after 40 years, continues in the fight for justice. And who causes the latest heartache for not only Maureen Faulkner, but fellow officers? So they're in court again this morning, and this is the game that's being played by District Attorney Larry Krasner, has been pushing for a retrial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, who, of course, you know, when he was convicted, and this has gone through the courts over and over and over, and I've reported it to you, but Mumia Abu-Jamal was convicted. Even at least one of his own family members testified against him. He's a convicted cop killer, and he's where he belongs, behind bars. There is no new evidence. I've read through these files. For years I've covered this thing. The fact that they're back in court, and every single time, the family and Maureen Faulkner, you know, just a young woman, finally went on with her life many, many years later. And finally, and now she has a daughter. I think her daughter is maybe just going off to college. But you think about, her entire life has been dedicated to fighting for justice and making sure that the person convicted of her first husband's murder, Danny Faulkner, that he would remain where he belongs, behind bars. So we've got that covered. You don't have to worry. I know that many of our friends from the FOP are there, many law enforcement and so on in court. And then we're hearing that bust into Philadelphia. So there were people literally, this is all contrived, being brought in to have some kind of as if they're local folks, you know, fighting for this retrial. It's a sin, as I say. We've been following this Amber Alert as well. Pennsylvania State Police putting this out there. The 6-year-old little girl, and she's still missing. They've been putting this out here. So we continue to follow this. Disappeared from outside a grade school. That one's going on as well, and we have no sign of her. She's with a woman who we don't know the relationship between her, but that is a big story as well. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to Charles McElwee. So we'll check in with Charles and get his perfect debate analysis on last night's big debate. As well, I'm hearing more about this committee of restoring law and order, as you know, that has been working in a bipartisan way to examine District Attorney Larry Krasner, to examine the work he has done, and to make sure that we look at the crime rate versus the conviction rate. And if you live in Philadelphia, as I have for many, many years, you feel in real time what's happening. And we see all too often that these accused violent criminals are just being put back out on the street, only to commit again and again and again. So now this is being looked into. There is word that articles of impeachment are being drawn up, in fact, by the committee after the initial report that we heard about coming out that was released Monday, and I had told you about this, did not specify those articles of impeachment. Now we're hearing more about that. And I told you yesterday when it broke, Rebecca Reinhart had resigned as city controller. She, as expected, announced her 2023 run for Philadelphia mayor. And of course, she's been busting the chops of Krasner, of Kenny, Mayor Kenny, all of them. So I had told you about that as well. But let's get to the big story, which, of course, is the big debate last night. I watched it on News Nation, so I do want to hear if you watched it, where you watched it. But don't worry, if you missed it, we've got it all covered for you. And if you missed, my dear friend Rich Cioli, I couldn't say anything all morning, but he had texted me last night. So Fox News, this is big. They had brought him in last night, put him up in a fancy hotel, corner suite, the whole thing. So don't worry, we have it all for you, as Rich Cioli gave some great analysis as well with Dana Perino, love her, and Bill Hemmer on Fox Network News in New York. So he's in New York this morning, but don't worry, he'll be back, of course, for his big afternoon show. But let's begin in listening to, before Charles McElwee, before we talk to Charles and get that green analysis of his take on this. So here's the debate. And we knew that they, both sides had agreed to a time limit of 1 minute. So this is Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. First time that we've seen him in a live setting. So it was supposed to go off in an hour. So listen in as they began with Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, of course, against his opponent, Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. Listen in.
You're running for a seat that could decide the balance of power in Washington. What qualifies you to be a U.S. senator? You have 60 seconds.
Hi. Good night, everybody. I'm running to serve Pennsylvania. He's running to use Pennsylvania. Here's a man that spent more than $20 million of his own money to try to buy that seat. I'm also having to talk about something called the Oz rule, that if he's on TV, he's lying. He did that during his career on his TV show. He's done that during his campaign about lying about our record here. And he's also lying probably during this debate.
So that was probably one of the better clips, I think. It was painful to watch and raises so many questions. Let's move on. This is the opening statement by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
I'm running for the U.S. Senate because Washington keeps getting it wrong with extreme positions. I want to bring civility, balance, all the things that you want to see because you've been telling it to me on the campaign trail. And by doing that, we can bring us together in a way that has not been done of late. Democrats, Republicans talking to each other. John Fetterman takes everything to an extreme, and those extreme positions hurt us all. Let's take crime as an example because it's been such a big problem. Maureen Faulkner accompanied me today to the studio. You know that her husband was a police officer in Philadelphia, was brutally, during this crime wave, has been trying to get as many murderers convicted and sentenced to life in prison out of jail as possible, including people who are similar to the man who murdered her husband. He does it without with the rest of the parole board agreeing. He's doing it without the families on board. These radical positions extend beyond crime to wanting to legalize all drugs, to open the border, to raising our taxes. I want Washington to be civil again. You need it to be less radical. John Fetterman, unfortunately, okay, would bring that.
Mr. Oz, thank you.
Yeah, so they didn't mind interrupting him, Dr. Oz, but Fetterman, I think, sometimes couldn't wait till that dinging. I can't stand that dinging bell. Let's take it through. This is talking about the economy. And let us notice this, that they don't bring up the lockdowns, the impact on our schools, school choice. I didn't hear much at all about our children and education. And I really wish, since that is a top issue for us here in Pennsylvania, especially, I thought that was a failure that they didn't mention that. But listen in now as Oz and Fetterman talk about spending.
Well, if you ask the U.S. government, they'll tell you they have 4% waste and fraud. Now, I've traveled over the Commonwealth and spoken to countless people. There was a lady in Beaver County at a county fair who told me with fear in her heart that she wanted to provide food for her son's highly nutritious chicken she wanted. She couldn't afford it anymore. That's a big problem. If we've got 4% waste and fraud, we ought to be able to take care of that. John Fetterman's, however, response continually is to raise taxes. He raised taxes as mayor. He tried to raise taxes as a lieutenant governor, 46%. That's a big tax rate. He supported Joe Biden's recent tax rate increase, and he's done that without paying his own taxes 67 times. I'll say that again. He hasn't paid his own taxes 67 times, but he's raising mine and yours. Those are radical positions. They're extreme. They're out of touch with the values of Pennsylvanians. And I can make the difficult decisions, as you do in the operating room as a surgeon. I'll make them cutting our budget as well to make sure we don't have to raise taxes on a population already desperately in pain from the high inflation rate.
Mr. Fetterman, I will allow a 15-second rebuttal. He has specifically said you have not paid your taxes and that you want to raise taxes on Americans. How do you respond?
Absolutely. The Oz rule, of course, he's lying. It was helping two students 17 years ago to help them, you know, buy their own homes. They didn't pay the bills, and it got her paid, and it has never been an issue in any of the campaign before. It was all about nonprofit.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fetterman. Continuing with you, Mr. Fetterman, your opponent has criticized Democratic spending, as you heard. Has the Biden administration overspent? And if so, where do you think spending should be cut? You have 60 seconds.
No, here's what I think. We have to fight about inflation here right now. That's what we need to fight about inflation, you know, right now, because it's a tax on working families, you know, and Dr. Oz can't possibly understand what that is like. You know, he has 10 gigantic mansions. You know, we must push back against corporate greed. We must make sure that we're also pushing back against price gouging as well, too. You know, we also be able to make more in Pennsylvania and make more in America. When he had a choice to make.
So you can hear that he's struggling with this. And I know that we can all debate on whether or not this is a situation where you are thinking properly and you have the words, but you just can't get them out. But there are so many different, you know, takes on this that people are saying he's really not yet healed. And I think after 5+ months, people thought that certainly he would have further progressed in his healing. And I think ultimately this was cruel of Democrats to allow this gentleman to continue on in this campaign instead of focusing on therapy and healing and getting better. And I think that they really thought they would avoid, perhaps they thought they would actually avoid a debate, but certainly pushed it off just 2 weeks before the big midterm election. So let's take one more before. And Anthony, I sent you Charles McElwee's phone number, actually, because perhaps he's not calling in and we have to call him. But we'll hear from Charles. And he's just so great as he can, you know, break this down and give us his take, his analysis on all of this. What's amazing to me, and it shouldn't be amazing. I know it should not be amazing, but the fact that the Inquirer and others, media outlets, are choosing to say that, oh, no, Fetterman actually won this debate, and that you're hearing now, and we had somebody call in this morning and say they watched some of the local stations and it's being carefully edited. What a disappointment that we cannot address the lack of transparency in a campaign, in a major, important election. And then it's so disingenuous for people to talk about the abortion issue, that this is somehow the issue in a United States Senate debate. Why? The Supreme Court has already stated and ruled that it's a states' rights issue, right? So unless you had a constitutional amendment, and this is critical to talk about, unless you have... Let's just rewind a little bit before we talk about the abortion issue, okay? Unless there were an amendment to the United States Constitution where you put in the right to an abortion or when life begins, etc., unless you put that all in there, it's not in the United States Constitution. That is why the Supreme Court of the United States, that's why they put it back to the states' rights. Because why? It's not in the Constitution, okay? So unless you go back and put it in there and do, which takes, I mean, that would take a lot. It's, you know, unlikely that it would happen. Thus, for this particular debate between these candidates for a United States senator, it's not an issue. And I know that Lindsey Graham, who wanted to campaign and raise money and all of that, because this is, as I've long said, partisans and career politicians, why would they try to resolve or solve any of the issues, such as the most incendiary issues, number one, abortion, and number two, gun control? Why would they solve that? They raise so much money on both sides of the aisle. Look at their websites. What do they raise money? What are they talking about? That's how they raise money. So Lindsey Graham, by saying that he would federalize this. No, you won't. Unless you're talking about a constitutional amendment, which he wasn't. So it's actually not an issue. It's disingenuous to bring this up. So when Dr. Oz said the word local government, when he said this issue is for women, their doctor, and the local officials, I would submit to you that, yes, it was poorly worded. He should have said what I'm saying right now, that the Supreme Court made it clear that this is a states' rights issue. And so it would be pertinent, for example, for the governor's race. And that's why Josh Shapiro, who's a Democrat who wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania, that's why Shapiro's campaign has put that out there. Why? Because it now is a critical issue at the state level. So we have a Republican-controlled legislature in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And so right now, anything that they put through can be vetoed by Governor Tom Wolf, who is a Democrat. Has nothing to do with the United States Senate, you see. So it's disingenuous for these candidates, for the campaigns, and even for the commentators, the hosts or co-hosts, whatever you want to call them, for the debate to bring this up and not really state that. So let's move on. Let me know. Give me a heads up when you get Charles McElwee, okay? Take a break? All right. We'll take a break. We'll look toward Charles on the other side, and you'll hear more and on this debate as well. We'll make sure that you hear everything that Rick Scioli said on his debut in person live on with Dana Perino on Fox News Live this morning. Be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So let's bring in, as we continue the analysis into the all-important debate for who will take over the seat, the soon-to-be vacant seat, left vacant by outgoing Republican Pat Toomey, Senator of Pennsylvania. And so who wants the job? Dr. Mehmet Oz, who's a Republican, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, first time we're getting to see him. So let's bring in Real Clear's Charles McAwee again, returning for us with great analysis. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning. So first, we'll continue to play. I was playing some clips earlier. So give me your take as you watch the debate, and first of all, your thoughts.
It was quite painful, Dawn, and that seems to be the unanimous reaction to last night's debate, that John Fetterman is clearly still recovering from a serious health crisis that happened on primary eve, recovering from the stroke. And this morning, the campaign is flustered and panicking. Nexstar, which hosted the debate, has been criticized by the campaign for its closed captioning system. They're saying that it was delayed and filled with errors. But as Nexstar's communications chief said in a statement this morning, that both campaigns were given opportunities to test the system twice, and Fetterman chose to only do it once in one rehearsal. Really, this is a story, Dawn, of the media, too. Since the stroke in May, let's face it, Fetterman has not been scrutinized with the level that he should have been scrutinized in terms of his transparency and what he is confronting. It's a serious issue. It does matter. Voters are being asked to sign on to a 6-year contract with their vote for him. Early voting has already started in Pennsylvania. Nearly 1.5 million Pennsylvanians have already cast ballots before last night. And the media in August, for example, the focus was that Fetterman is running a fun campaign, an internet-savvy campaign. He's trolling his way to victory. But really, the story of this race is that Fetterman is clearly still confronting the health crisis, and that does matter. And we saw firsthand how it went last night.
Yeah, it. My husband and I were watching it together, and to your point, we watched it on News Nation, which I've never even watched that channel before. But it was unfortunate, and I think it should be an FCC investigation, quite frankly, because local stations are required, according to their FCC licensing, to provide this kind of important content to voters and to the public. And so the fact that any dispute, I don't care what their business dispute was, it doesn't matter to me. I do believe that the FCC should investigate, and Verizon, as well as, you know, PHL-17, they should be held accountable. The people struggled to find this. And again, it goes to your point about the media, but also it plays into this feeling of a lack of transparency when it comes to media, when it comes to elections. And we never want that. We want to make sure that everybody feels their vote counts. And so that, to me, is a huge disappointment. But Charles McAwee, if we could, and Charles, I think everybody knows you, but I just do want to say you're editor of Real Clear Pennsylvania, John Farley Memorial alumnus, fellow, part of the Robert Novak Fellowship Program, adjunct professor, certainly at local colleges, and a regular contributor to so many different great publications such as Real Clear Politics, Real Clear PA, Philadelphia Inquirer, among other publications. I could go on and on about you, but let's listen in as we hear. Let's just take another, I'll take cut 6, Fetterman and Oz talking about minimum wage, for example.
John Fetterman shoots too low. We want much more money than that. And there are many ways to achieve that, but John Fetterman thinks the minimum wage is his weekly allowance from his parents. He's not really cognizant of the real challenges of business owners who've got to balance that with employees. Thankfully, we have a solution. And John, you didn't answer the question. You can't put businesses out of commission in order to pay more wages, because they won't be, the wages will go to zero, which is John Fetterman's radical plan, if you really follow to conclusion. Here's what I would do. We have one of the richest energy states in the country. I believe if we could unleash the energy beneath our feet here in Pennsylvania, there'd be plenty of money to go around. We'd have increased wages, a more reason for students to take vocational classes to be able to learn trades, which I'm strongly supportive of. We'd also be able to pipe that gas, improve our economy, and reduce inflation. That's a plan that works, and it's humble enough that I can say it broadly.
Thank you. I want to give you, Mr. Fetterman, a 15-second follow-up to what he just said about you.
Now, again, it's remarkable. He hasn't really had any answer that he actually had about that. He doesn't want to talk about having somebody having a living wage and having somebody able to survive again.
And I want to come back to you now, Mr. Oz, for a quick follow-up. What do you say to those Pennsylvanians that he just spoke of that are trying to survive on $7.25 an hour, which is less than all of our neighbors? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, I don't think you should have to survive on $7.25 an hour. I want the minimum wage up as high as it can go. I want to highlight that I have an agenda for prosperity, unlike John Fetterman. I want us all getting paid a lot more than $15. And I answered your question directly in a way that would preserve business owners, job creators, so they thrive, and we'd have lots more employees entering the workforce and then prospering, getting paid $25, $35, $45 an hour. But we're never gonna get there if we don't unleash our energy. And John Fetterman's stubbornness on calling it a stain on Pennsylvania is an insult to those workers.
To be clear, you said you want people making a lot more, but that's not through a federal law of minimum wage. That's through market forces.
Market forces should drive it up anyway, and it's already done that.
So that's just one exchange. When you listen to that, Charles, do you also, were you waiting for more, let's say, on education? Because we had different reports coming out over the past couple of weeks about standardized testing, for example, in our schools, and Pennsylvania children, and in particular Philadelphia children, scoring much lower than the national average.
Much lower than the national average, right? We have school districts throughout Pennsylvania that are really struggling right now, in many cases failing. And these school districts are oftentimes the primary employers in many Pennsylvania communities as well. But when you listen to that exchange, Don, it speaks for itself. Fetterman's answer was borderline incoherent. Oz, in that exchange, was reflective of how he was throughout the debate, which was substantive and really quite centrist, if not moderate, in his answers, perhaps in the mold of how Pat Toomey has been as a senator and how many senators in Pennsylvania have been in the past who have prevailed and represented Pennsylvania in Washington. But Fetterman's positions in so many communities that are like Braddock. So Pennsylvania is a state of many Braddocks, communities that have experienced population decline, economic decline, places that were defined by extraction industries that shaped them. And all they have left are these historical markers that remind them of what they once had. And these are places where people, voters, are living in old homes where they're dependent on fuel. And fuel is rising. And here we are in a state where hundreds of thousands are employed in ancillary industries alone when it comes to the energy sector. And Fetterman's position, the progressive position, really, on energy, it just does not work in a state where so many working class voters are struggling to make ends meet and just to stay warm for the colder days ahead. So really, the minimum wage debate, I mean, Oz has the upper hand in the sense of, one, the market forces, but two, supporting an industry that is globally unique in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and that brings us to the issue of fracking. And I just want to play one more snippet, and this was Fetterman's answer, non-answer, as he is being asked by the moderators to clarify where he stands on fracking and the flip-flop flopping on fracking, if I can spit that out. Let's listen in.
I must correct the record.
Just a second, Mr. Oz. I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fetterman.
So it's confusing because he says, I do support it, but then he says, I don't. And some people thought that, you know, that this was a contradiction, and certainly the cognitive issue is going on, or the speech issue, whatever you want to say. But in that one, I don't know that we got a straight answer.
We didn't get a straight answer, and yes, I mean, really, that answer may have been different before May, before he had the stroke. So I think that was definitely a prime example of just that auditory processing, just the cognitive questions that people are raising about Fetterman's recovery, that it was only a few months ago that he had this significant crisis, and it leads to that example of, is he capable of communicating what he is trying to convey? But regardless, Fetterman did say in recent history, in 2018, that he is not for fracking. In a state where fracking is a driver of economic development, and for example, Don, in just last year around this time, Luzerne County announced a natural gas project that was the largest economic development announcement in terms of dollars in the county's history. So, of course, voters in these places, when they hear what Fetterman said in 18 and then chalk it up to what he said last night, which, of course, was perhaps even incoherent, that they're asking themselves, is it in their economic interest to vote for Fetterman? But, of course, following last night's debate, so many voters, even independent voters, may be asking themselves this morning, is it responsible to send Fetterman to Washington?
Yeah, it's stunning that the media, especially in Philadelphia, but even the national media, the way that they're portraying this and playing clips of it, and then combine that with the fact that local viewers, many, could not find it anywhere. And so that they have to rely, in other words, just, I don't think in its entirety it's put out there or made available on any public television channel for somebody who perhaps is not as media savvy or doesn't have News Nation, etc. So I think it's a little frustrating when you only have 2 weeks to go to, and it feels like it was by design, 2 weeks prior, and then people are having trouble accessing this debate. It's infuriating to me.
It really is, and that's so true, Don. I mean, I think of my situation last night. I was watching the debate in Philadelphia, and we on Real Clear Pennsylvania, we had a feed via YouTube that was available to visitors to the website. But otherwise, there was a moment of panic trying to find it on TV. Mm-hmm. And that was the case for so many viewers who perhaps wanted to watch it last night, but they just couldn't find it. So that is a serious problem. And that combined with just the fact that, so many have already cast their ballots. This debate was scheduled way too late. Perhaps the Fetterman campaign this morning, they're kicking themselves for even agreeing to a debate. But this debate should have been sooner. It should have been in early October, not just days before Election Day.
Yeah, agreed. You know, I have to ask you about this because I know they're planning a morning news conference. So I apologize for putting you on the spot. But we had heard about the report coming out of Harrisburg and the House, you know, the House in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania putting out reports with regard to its investigation and probe into Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner. So there are reports that they've issued a news release, and that, in fact, they amid that critical report that they released Monday, that the House Committee on Restoring Law and Order now may be, preparing articles of impeachment for DA Larry Krasner. Have you heard anything on that as far as the latest from where you stand and what's going on with reportedly articles of impeachment prepared, or, you know, as the full House would then have to approve of it, obviously, but we've talked about it in the past. Do you have anything to add about that?
So the impeachment process in the state legislature is quite complex. It's time consuming, and it has only been successful twice in Pennsylvania history, the last time being the impeachment of a state Supreme Court justice in 1994. So only two instances. There were talks of impeachment of Kathleen Kane when she was still in her legal jams as Attorney General of Pennsylvania. But this will be a story to follow. And there is perhaps an emerging bipartisan consensus that it is not in the interests of a major city, especially for its residents who reside within that city, to have a district attorney who is clearly blinded by ideology and does not believe in enforcing laws on the book to ensure public safety. And it makes me think back on to two things. I mean, really, last night, Oz, we kept referencing how he would approach the problems of the state as a surgeon, the problems of this nation as a surgeon, to bring people together. And there was a time in Philadelphia where we had local leaders who had that approach as well. I never forgot this essay written by Ed Rendell when he was mayor. It came out in City Journal in 1995, and he said he was approaching the problems of the city at that time as a surgeon. And he was quite successful in that surgery, in the sense of by 2015, Philadelphia had record low crime rates. It was vibrant. You felt safe in the city. But here we are now with local leaders who have taken the opposite approach. So it will be interesting to see if Philadelphia follows the path of San Francisco, in the sense of, you know, Chase Bowden, who was booted out as district attorney there, and a mayor who has kind of veered away from the leftward direction in her leadership. Will that happen in the city, and will the state legislature in this impeachment process, will this force local leaders to perhaps reconsider how they approach the present problems in the city and the city's indisputable crime crisis?
Yeah, well said. Well, Charles McElwee, we look forward to the next time. Thank you so much for weighing in and giving us your expert analysis, as always.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Charles. The Dawn Show is going to continue. We have so much more. And Rich Zeoli's debut in person, live from New York with Dana Perino, coming right up. We'll talk more about the Fetterman-Oz debate that's making international news. Kudos to the ABC affiliate in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, WHTM. Right on their front page, it says, Verizon continues to bill you, and yet you can't get us. Verizon, you can get them. In other words, you can get it online, and they have streaming the last night's debate. But good for them for calling out Verizon during amid some kind of a contract dispute that they have. Let's take Maureen really quick before we move on and hear from Rich Zeoli on Fox Live this morning. Hey, Maureen.
Hey, Dawn. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had a couple comments, and I won't be long. I did turn on the debate. I could not bear to watch it and turned it off within probably 5 minutes. I just couldn't. And I also knew that today, because I have 1210 on all day, that I will hear a really good parsing of everything I needed to know to be important. So I thank you guys for that. And love your show. I love the whole show. It's on all day. The other thing I wanted to comment on, Dawn, and I think you'll appreciate that. There are many people who will. I watch this particular network where all the shows all day are about the women are in places of power, right? They just have a lot of power. It's all across the board, starting out with Medicine Woman and going all the way down to Rizzoli and Isles and everything in between. I like old shows because I never always saw them. And I find it curious that whenever the storyline has something to do with pregnancy, even if it's the main character or a peripheral character, none of them ever choose abortion on the shows. None of them. And I find that very curious and quite interesting. And I just wanted to comment on that.
Oh, that's a great point. You know, and I think that's why the media portrays things one way. We had a caller earlier this morning who said, 95% of people support, you know, a woman's right to an abortion. And if you look it up, I mean, I found a Pew, the most I found a Pew Research poll talking about 61% supported it, but certainly not until 9 months pregnant. I think what most people support for sure is you know, or not most, a lot, rape and incest and those sorts of things. But I always say, why are we having this conversation in this year when there's so much? Think about all the technology and think about, for example, when you look at all of the different technology, they can put something in your arm and stop your period for a month or a year or 5 years. The reason they don't want to have these kinds of conversations, I believe, is that career politicians are not incentivized to solve the problem or work out these problems. They're just not. And so the fact that they claim, oh, we care about women and babies and reproductive health. No, they really don't. They care about partisan paycheck.
It's always all about not what they're saying it is. Always. I can also show you a study from the Rachel Project that says that 95% of people who have abortions regret them. Nobody ever talks about that. Yeah. I have a dear friend who had one. And to this day, and we're both in our 70s, she can barely talk about what she considered to be a mistake. It was young, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's what she chose. God bless her. I take nothing. I hold nothing. I tell her that we had an all-forgiving God and take herself off the hot seat. But there's a lot of women who suffer after they've chosen abortion. And that's never talked about.
Nope.
So that's all I have. I love you.
Thank you. Love you back. Thanks, Maureen. And we also love our great Rich Zeoli. Can we go to Rich now or do I have to go to a break really quick? All right. Let's listen in. I'm so excited for him on Fox News looking fabulous, may I say, with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer listening.
John Fetterman kept pointing out his doctor who gave him this health clearance. That's one of his campaign donors. He's actually using one of his big campaign donors as his doctor. It was political malpractice to have him on that stage, unless you were really going for the sympathy vote. Since that poll that Bill showed, what I've noticed on my radio show is that this poll has really tightened. This race is super razor thin. I actually think Dr. Oz is leading at this point. So I think the only reason why they had Fetterman on that stage last night was to try to play up some sympathy, because it was an unmitigated disaster for him. But Dana, this whole campaign has been a disaster for him. This guy is so far to the left on crime at a time in America when crime is surging. And you know better than anybody, I mean, the mood of the electorate shifts. And right now, this electorate does not want a guy who argued for releasing first and second degree murderers. They don't want it. I talked to a friend of mine the other night. She's a mom. She got rerouted through the suburbs of Philadelphia and had to go through West Philly. She thought she was going to get carjacked. I kid you not. And she said to me, Rich, my heart was breaking as I looked at all the people who were just so struggling in this area. She said, this is not the same city it was 10 years ago. There's no mood for what John Fetterman views on crime, not in this political moment.
It's interesting. Oz tried to put his finger on that in his closing argument.
Yes, he certainly did. But Rich Zeoli, I'm just so proud of him. I'm like, yay. So this morning I was on Kale and Company Live, obviously doing the news and so on. And I'm trying to watch Zeoli as well, but I know that you share with me, you know, this proud moment for Rich. I can't wait to hear more. Maybe he'll call in and give us the scoop on everything, but I know he had a blast. So that's just a snippet. Maybe we'll hear more moving forward. But, you know, this is such a great time to search for that new or certified vehicle that you've been wanting. My friends from the Piazza Auto Group, they're always here for you to assist you with any and all of your automotive needs, including leasing, financing, maintenance, so much more. Piazza, they've really grown to include Piazza Premium Automobiles with locations across Pennsylvania and now Northern Delaware as well. So visit PiazzaPremiumAutos.com for that Land Rover, Jaguar, Porsche, Mercedes-Benz, Alfa Romeo, or Maserati dealer nearest you. That's Piazza Premium Automobiles. And PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Let them know Dawn sent you. I'll tell you what, let's wrap up the hour with one more little taste, a snippet of our very own Rich Zeoli this morning giving his brilliant analysis on Fox News Live. Listen in.
Rich, last comment. What are you looking for today and in the coming 7 days, 14
Well, I think
days.
I also want to go to a bar, Bill, and hear what people have to say. And also, hey, just an excuse to go to a bar. I'll be curious to what my callers have to say this afternoon, but I really think the bottom line is this. John Fetterman is in bad shape politically. He's in bad shape health-wise. They should have switched him out of this race. I think that's obvious. He's going to lose this race, and I think that that is what is the reality right now. And I'll tell you something. Dr. Oz may not have come across super likable last night, but he didn't have to. He just had to make sure he wasn't being mean to John Fetterman, and he wasn't. I thought he was gracious. So what I'm looking for today is people to react and probably say to me, what are the Democrats thinking by keeping him in this race? What are they thinking? But, Bill, remember something. We're weeks into voting already.
Sure.
A lot of people have already cast their ballot. Yeah. That's why it was political malpractice to only have one debate at the end of October.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, like, over a million have already voted. All right, Rich, if you would please send us a summary of your callers this afternoon.
Sure.
We'd appreciate it.
Of your callers? What does she mean by that? Oh, callers. Okay. All right. So I thought I got a kick out of that, but we'll have to hear the inside scoop from Zioli for sure. I'm sure he's flying high and had a great time in New York this morning. You'll hear all about it on his show this afternoon, too. You know, one of my great escapes, and especially this time of year, and it's so exciting for us fans. You know, the Phillies headed into the World Series. We've got the Eagles-Steelers game coming up this Sunday. But the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app always has you covered, certainly for baseball, the World Series right now, and football. Bet Parks is everything, of course, that you want in a digital casino and sportsbook. So join Bet Parks, P-A-R-X. Join with me now. It's the only casino and sportsbook app I recommend. And I don't care that we're the underdog. Everybody's saying, oh, we're the underdog going into the World Series. Big bootity booty boo. I could care less. I'm still going to go with our Phillies. I think that we are hot and it's red October. And by the way, it's going to be red November too. Anyway, that's my take on that one. But Bet Parks, it really is everything. It's cool. Just download it in the Bet Parks app right now. New users, you get up to $750 in sportsbook bonuses back if your first bet is not a winner. And Bet Parks has all the details for you, betparks.com. So you must be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.